Welcome back to Community Voices.
Steve Corey here with Ross Anderson from Kelowna.
Are there any places where they have been successful in either banning them or making sure that the towers are far enough away? We heard something about the city of Berkeley, or that you know of.
There are numerous places where the people are winning the battle. Wi-Fi is now being removed from many of the schools in Europe, specifically France, and I believe other countries as well are doing this because they've noticed the incredible decrease in the level of health of the children attending these schools and the inability of these kids to study and learn because they're being bombarded by Wi-Fi all day long. And they go home and then there's the Wi-Fi at home as well.
So there is a lot of science that shows the damage that can be that this type of electromagnetic radiation can do.
There's a huge amount of science, absolutely, and it's all something you can find. I tell people to go to the Bioinitiative report, which is at bioinitiative.org, and read. I mean, it's 285 pages, so you don't read it all, but there are summaries on there that can be accessed that are a fairly quick read. There are numerous other fabulous websites. There are numerous authors who've published books. One of the best books going is called Overpowered.
By Dr. Blank?
By Dr. Martin Blank, who is no longer with us, unfortunately. And a lot of the authors, unfortunately, are getting older. Some of them have left the planet. And so there is a lot of information available.
Yeah, I want to repeat that because it's important, the bioinitiative.org.
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
The Bioinitiative Report, which is based upon many, many extremely qualified scientists who've been looking at this for many years and reporting on it.
So here in Salmon Arm, I'm not sure what's been installed. We are told, in fact, it was just in the newspaper that this one company was being very... very forthright about it and was telling us, yeah, we're going to install these towers on the top of the building, I believe right near the CIBC building, right on Alexander Street. And the city was rather thankful that you told us, because apparently the only restriction the city has is in height. And I believe it's a 3 meter maximum. And these particular little towers were less than that. So they didn't even have to tell us.
This is what happens. There are certain regulations. What's happening in the Lower Mainland is when there is a development that is going to go in and the land has been ascertained, they will put in the towers before they actually start to build the sewage and the water lines and all of the things that are necessary to build the development. So the cell towers have already gone in before the development is done.
You know, I admit that I'm jumping all over here, but I do want to ask you about alternatives to this electromagnetic radiation. I've heard something about fiber optics. Can you...
Well, fiber optics, you can run the internet, but as far as it goes, a cell phone has to have a radio frequency signal.
Okay.
And the public is now addicted to cell phone technology dramatically. And it's not just a psychological addiction. It's a physical addiction. You take cell phones away from certain people in certain age groups, and they go through actual physical withdrawal.
Withdrawal symptoms.
It's a very serious situation. And the technology and all of this has been normalized. You watch television. Everybody's using a smartphone. And they're using it, holding it right up to their head. Your favorite, you know, cop show. They've all got
Yeah, let's talk about that just
if
for
you
a
go to a department store, every third person is talking to someone at home about which peanut butter to buy. So it's been normalized. You go downtown any city and people are walking around talking on the phone all the time. So in the eyes of the public, how can there be anything wrong with it? Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, and I'd like you to speak just for a moment about the fact that they're holding it right next to their head. Doesn't it say somewhere right in the little manual, that's not a manual, that comes with the cell phone, you know?
Yeah, you can pull it up on the phone. If you go to settings and go scroll down and go to about phone, there's a part in there about legal. And it says right in there a certain distance that you have to hold the phone away from your actual skin. Well, nobody does that. Who's going to hold it 3/4 of an inch away from their head? Nobody's going to do that. They all hold it right against their head.
So what's the alternative to all these towers here? If people want cell phone coverage, could we not have cell phone towers farther out and still have the coverage?
In certain countries, they will not build homes within 1,000 meters, that's a kilometer, of a cell tower. And, you know, that's the issue, is that you don't have to be 40 feet from a cell tower to have reception. Unfortunately, that's the way we've done it in North America. These towers are everywhere in urban areas, and they are extremely, extremely close to homes. You go down into the lower mainland and you'll see them 20 feet from a house.
Yeah. And was there not some studies there? I know that in the Bioinitiative report, they talk about studies that were done that demonstrated that if people are within a certain, I think it was 500 meters of a cell tower, that the rates of not only cancer but other afflictions went up dramatically. And they've done these studies. They're using blind, proper, double-blind studies.
The major issue is neurological diseases. We're talking about, you know, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, otherwise known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, if you want the medical term. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Parkinson's disease. Many, many other neurological degenerative diseases that are on the rise and have been in exact parallel to the increase in this technology. So and that's well documented.
So to give people some hope, I want to return to this mitigation. And as it turns out, we're doing a little, we're talking about your company called Safe Zone Electromagnetic Frequency Inspections. So people can get their home inspected and they are able to put in some mitigation, if we will, mitigation methods.
Absolutely. Everything we find can be rectified. Unfortunately, there are certain situations where I tell people, this is going to cost you way too much. Sell your house and move. Yeah. And I do that regularly. I do pre-purchase inspections for people looking at buying a house. And I do my internet research on the location of the cell towers and hotspots. I go out to the location. I make sure there's nothing horrible there, like, you know, major power lines or whatever. And I give the house a yay or nay. And I've put the kibosh on many purchases because the house is simply a dangerous place to live.
So let's talk about internal Wi-Fi now, right within a house. Can people do anything with their Wi-Fi to mitigate it so that, let's say, that they, you know, they want Wi-Fi for a way?
We get rid of Wi-Fi completely in many cases. We hardwire everything in the house. It's that simple. We hardwire everything, including tablets. People have to, you know, they can't use Wi-Fi on their phone anymore. But that's not, you know, that's not the end of the world. And I tell people when I start an inspection, are you willing to undergo some minor conveniences to protect yourself from something that could actually cause your demise?
Yes.
And if they don't agree to that, I leave. If they're not willing to undergo some minor inconveniences to save them from this, then I don't do an inspection.
Let's talk about now where I admit I'm jumping ahead, but today is May 15th, 2019. We just had a demonstration, and people are very concerned about the city of Salmon Arm. Would you think that we could present to the mayor, let's say, or to the people of Salmon Arm, but through the mayor, a situation instead of saying we're opposed to this, what about making Salmon Arm a limited or almost EMF-free zone? Is that possible? Can we still have cell phones?
I am a realist, not a fanatic.
Yes.
I do not believe that's possible.
How about reducing it? So could we say to the cell phone companies, we'd rather not have those microcells around and bathing people with this stuff, just like having Wi-Fi at home. We'd like to have some sort of a system where we still have cell phone coverage, because I agree we're addicted, but it's not to the degree that they would like to bathe us in.
You're talking about the largest industry on the planet Earth. We now have over 5 billion smartphones in operation on this planet. We have countries where they don't put in telephone lines anymore. They do it all wirelessly because it's cheaper, it's easier, and they can cover larger areas. I have testified before city council in a number of cities. None of them have adopted any measures to limit this.
None of them. What about Europe? I think
Europeans have a different attitude than North Americans. They are much more logical and they listen to science much more so than North Americans. And there are places in Europe where they are doing things constructively.
I've used actually the definition of the precautionary principle. Mm-hmm. We won't go there for a moment, but I know that I just read that in Belgium, I believe the mayor of Brussels, I guess it was mm-hmm. Brussels, the capital, he did not want this 5G. In fact, refused it. I don't know if anybody can substantiate that. But I do know that they practice the precautionary principle. Let's just for a moment take that route. In other words, the precautionary principle says you can't install this stuff unless we have a scientific consensus that no damage will be done. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Do you think they could do that? That science, you've told me, and I know it's there. I've seen some of it myself. The science is there.
The precautionary principle is a wonderful concept, but it is a concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Only. Yes. The human race has never adopted the precautionary principle in anything that we have done.
No. But the reason I brought up a few moments ago, about a couple of minutes, maybe it's 5 minutes ago now, glyphosate and Roundup, is because we've been told for decades that it's safe, that it's innocuous, that it's not going to do any damage to anything. Now we're finding out that it did. So in other words, our government was telling it was safe, much as they're telling us right now that 5G is going to be safe, everything is okay, and yet, how long is it going to take for there to be some sort of a disaster or...
Well, we thought cigarettes were safe.
Exactly.
My doctor, when I was a kid, my doctor smoked Camels. You know how I know he smoked Camels? Because there was a pack of Camels on the desk when I was 6 years old, and I thought he was a god. And of course, he smoked Camels. There can't be anything wrong with cigarettes. My doctor did it. It's the same thing.
But let's get to something a little bit more hopeful, if you will. I mean, we did talk about mitigation. We talked about we could ask our city to take a look at some places where they have reduced or tried to reduce the amount of electromagnetic radiation. We heard this morning, just afternoon, Jerry Flynn talking about the military applications of this. Can we go into that just for a moment? Wasn't that right after the Second World War where the military was using electromagnetic radiation for certain purposes?
Yep. An amusing story. In World War II, after radar came out and there was radar on the ships, And actually, since then, in the 50s and 60s, before they knew better, the sailors would stand with their crotch in front of the radar emitter for a couple of minutes before they went on leave, because it would render them impotent—not impotent, but unable to conceive.
Sterilized
temporarily, and they knew this. So.
There, I remember I was in the Air Force,
okay.
And I do recall them telling us not to stand in front of the radar.
Right.
First of all, those things are very high power, 50,000 watts or something.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, huge. And you know, you've got to be hundreds of yards away from them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to return back to another thing about legalities, because you mentioned the word legal. Apparently, I've heard something, and I want you to confirm this, that the insurance companies will not insure against damage or torts from electromagnetic radiation.
That's absolutely correct. They won't touch it because they know the liability level that they would be exposed to if and when people start, you know, seeking damages. And so, unfortunately, that is the issue, is that nobody is accountable. The telecom companies aren't accountable for people, you know, can I sue somebody for my brain tumor?
No. It's pretty hard to prove, too.
Well, that's the whole problem. Nobody can connect the dots and say this caused that. Because it's invisible. You can't see it, smell it, or taste it.
No. Well, I think really I could go on a lot longer, Ross, and I want to thank you for coming to Salmon Arm, to speaking for us, and for doing this interview. And I just hope that people can find ways of mitigating, at least reducing, this electromagnetic radiation. You have the last word.
Well, yeah, the only thing that can be done is to protect your own home. And that's what people are doing. They're starting to wake up and realize that they have to protect their home where they spend most of their time. And it can be done. Yes, it takes some money. It takes a bit of time, but it can be done. And if it's not done, if your exposure levels are high and you don't protect your home, you are severely at risk. And that's not a fear tactic. That is simply the truth. And you don't have to believe me. Do your own research. You'll find exactly the information that I found.
There's a lot of information out there. Dr. Ross Anderson, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You have been listening to Community Voices. If you have a story you'd like us to follow, or if you're a nonprofit with an event you'd like us to talk about, please get in touch with us. CV@voiceoftheshuswap.ca.